Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidir rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. In the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala teaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the following dua. Wa qur rabbi zidni 'ilma. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. All knowledge by default belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of everything that we know as human beings belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jal shares this knowledge with whomever He wills. And some of this knowledge has worldly benefit, and then some of it has benefit in the dunya and also in the hereafter. The Quran falls in that area where primarily its goal is to guide us in the hereafter, yet it has so many benefits for us in the world that we live in too. When we engage with the Quran or the Sunnah, we don't just want knowledge, we want knowledge that is beneficial. We see people who have learned hadith, they've learned Quran, they've learned fiqh. But when you study them outwardly, there is no presence of what they've learned in their life. They're very good at reading the words. When you hear them recite, the pronunciation is phenomenal. Their voice is amazing. The way they dress will represent the scholars of the time. But when the average Muslim engages with them, or even when the non-Muslim engages with them, rather than being attracted to the deen, they are turned away from it. This is something that we need to think about very carefully. On the Day of Judgment, when we stand in front of our Rabb, let alone being able to present good deeds, what if we are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, why did you turn people away from me? If you couldn't do good, that's one thing, but turning people away from Allah Azza wa Jal, turning people away from the deen. As a Muslim, when you are outside, when you engage with people, they start caring less about your identity and start paying attention more to what you represent. Whether your name is Munir, whether your name is Abdullah, whether your name is Muhammad, it doesn't matter that much. When you're on the highway and you cut someone off, they don't care about your name. They don't care what your race is. They don't pay attention to what your upbringing was. When they see that this person is a Muslim, in their mind, they think this person represents Islam. Maybe this is what their religion teaches. In our deen, when we seek knowledge, we do it at a slower pace. It happens through guidance of elders who teach you how to act upon what you learn, because we are interested not just in accumulating a lot of information. We are interested in including divine knowledge into our hearts and in our lives so we can see actual change. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O Allah, increase me in knowledge. This is the knowledge that the Quran teaches us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua to Allah, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ عِلْمًا نَافِعًا. Not just knowledge, but O Allah, give me knowledge that is beneficial. Knowledge that draws a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, while defining knowledge, he said, true knowledge is that which exposes you to your own flaws, not to other people's flaws. That'll come later. Knowledge is what helps you draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which teaches you how to build a meaningful, strong relationship with your Rabb. That's what knowledge is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa rizuqna ittiba'ah. Oh Allah, show us the truth for what it is, and then guide us to follow it. وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا. And allow us to see falsehood for what it is. If something is false, Ya Allah, allow my eyes to see this is false. And if something is good and it has khayr in it, Ya Allah, allow me to at least see that. And then allow me to follow it. And as for the evil, keep me far away from it. This is the knowledge that we're looking for. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us of people who had knowledge. They had a lot of knowledge. But the problem was their knowledge wasn't connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, their knowledge is what brought their destruction. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. When Qarun was asked, where did all this wealth come from? He said, because of my knowledge. In our deen, the opening verse of Revelation is اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. I hear people saying this, that the first revelation was اِقْرَأْ. The first revelation was اِقْرَأْ. That was the first word, not the first revelation. The first revelation consisted of five verses, and these five verses together teach you to seek knowledge in a state of humility, knowing that this knowledge comes from the one that created you. اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Read in the name of the one. اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي. Read in the name of the one, خَلَقْ, who created you. Humility. That a person understands that I shouldn't be too haughty or too arrogant when I engage with revelation. Because it is through divine aid that we are able to become actual true companions of the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it, and for that we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, allow me to act upon what I know. That's the hard part. Reading the Quran has its virtue, but acting upon the Quran is its true preservation. We as Muslims don't just rely on the written tradition. We are very much interested in the oral tradition. How is the deen practiced? How is it practiced? The Sahaba, when they narrate a hadith, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَعَلَ كَذَا. I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing this. I saw the Prophet of Allah praying like this. I saw the Prophet of Allah doing wudu like this. So many of these narrations that I saw, I heard the Prophet of Allah saying it. It was a part of a conversation, something that happened, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something that was so phenomenal that it changed their lives. Any progress that we have with the Quran will always be a result of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. So before we go on the journey of knowledge, before we start even reading the Quran, we need to learn to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Learn to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Please your Rabb. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to direct His attention towards you. Because if that rahmah is directed towards your mind, you will be more brilliant than any mind on this earth. If that rahmah is directed towards your heart will shed wisdom and light wherever it goes. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs His mercy towards you, you will become a star in a dark sky. That's the power of divine guidance, divine aid. Never stop making that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to the Sahaba and we see people who are at the bottom of society, who are unrecognized, unknown people. But because they made that dua to Allah, because they made that sacrifice for the Quran and for the deen, Allah azza wa jal elevated them. The story of Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa is known by all. He was a resident of Mecca. As far as the Arab structure of respect, honor in society went, he was right at the bottom. He was from the Mawali. They weren't even from the tribes of recognized, you know, Meccan society. He is brought in by Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an, who then changes his status from being a mawla, an affiliate, an associate, to mutabanna. He turned him into a son. That now no one will say Salim Mawla Abu Hudhayfa, they will say Salim Ibn Abu Hudhayfa. Salim the son of Abu Hudhayfa, even though he wasn't his son. He said, from now on, I am adopting you into my family. You will be recognized as my son. Allah Azza wa Jal then revealed the ayat of the Quran, Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsatu 'inda Allah. That do not call them by anyone other than their fathers. If someone's father is someone, they will always be their father. There is great virtue in bringing an orphan into your home. There is great virtue in looking after them, taking care of them. But you have to always remember that it is your duty to let them know who their father is, to preserve their lineage. In our deen, there is great emphasis on family structure. This Salim then goes on to become a hafiz of the Quran. And such was his maqam that he then would be the one that would lead other sahaba in prayer. The man who was at the bottom of society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his divine guidance, made him the leader of the seniors. Abu Hudhaifa, who brought him into his home, who spent his money on him, who provided for him, when it would come to salah, he would stand behind him. He went on in Medina Munawwara to lead the sahaba and congregation in salah outside of Quba, and served as one of the lead scholars of the Quran. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor him? Allah azza wa jal blessed him with shahada. He fought in the battle of Yamama against Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab. I always wondered where Yamama was, because in historical seerah works, you find the reference of this battle of Yamama. It was a great battle against Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab. He had a large army of 40,000, and this was after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. He claimed to be a prophet while the Prophet was alive, actually, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to engage with him. He said to the Prophet that I will become your co-prophet. Crazy guy. He said, I will become your co-prophet. What we'll do is half of the land will be yours, half of the land will be mine. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a response to him at the hands of Habib bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, that go and deliver this letter to him. And the letter read, Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Musaylimah ibn al-Kadhdhab. This is where his name Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab came in. Ila Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab. Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab. From Muhammad the Messenger of Allah to Musaylimah the liar. He said 50-50. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna al-arda lillah yurithuha man yasha'u min ibadihi wal 'aqibatu lil-muttaqin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this land to who He wills. You don't do 50-50. This is not how this works. When Habib bin Zayd read the letter, and in the letter he said Musaylimah al-Kadhdhab, Musaylimah lost it. And he said to him, what do you say about Muhammad? So Zayd radiallahu anhu said, Huwa Rasulullah. He said, what do you say about me? He said, Antal Kadhab. This made Musaylimah so angry that he began to torture Habib bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. May Allah elevate his maqam. He severed one limb at a time until he killed him. One limb at a time. And every time before he severed a limb, he asked him again, who am I? And he said, Antal Kadhab. And he severed his limb. He said, who am I? Antal Kadhab. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu sent the armies to go and deal with these false prophets, and a large army of Muslims came to Yamama. And it was quite an epic battle. In that battle, some of the greatest Sahaba were martyred, including the brother of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn al-Khattab. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard that his brother was martyred, he cried and he said, Sabaqani al-Husnayayn al-Islam wa shahada. My brother beat me to the two things that were most beloved to me. He beat me to both of them. He became Muslim before I did. He became Shaheed before I did. And he cried a lot at the loss of his brother. Among the martyrs in that battlefield was Salim radiallahu anhu. I was saying that I was wondering, where is this battlefield? And as I began to search, I saw that it is actually in modern-day Riyadh. In the southern part of modern-day Riyadh, they actually have the maqbara of the shuhada of Yamam. We look at the story of Salim radiallahu anhu, someone who was at the bottom of society, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him. And not only did He elevate him in the world, by giving him shahada, He elevated him in the hereafter too. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And keep asking Allah, Ya Allah, keep our hearts connected to the Qur'an. Make us from the companions of the Qur'an. Allow us to live, breathe the Qur'an. Allow us to propagate and teach the Qur'an. Let the message of the Qur'an flow in our veins. Ya Allah, let the message of the Qur'an beat in our hearts. Ya Allah, let us become beacons of the Qur'an. This is the type of insan that we need. This is where we need Muslims, those who actually live the Quran. So on this night, we ask Allah, Ya Allah, through your divine guidance and mercy, make us from the true companions of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.